Welcome to the Wild Adventures Podcast, a podcast where we get to hear people's life stories and see where they have identified adventure in their life. My hope for you as a listener is that you come away from this podcast inspired to make every day an adventure. I am your endlessly curious host, Marlene Lowe, and my passion is in hearing and collecting your stories. Today I'd like to introduce you to Craig Allen. He's a leadership guru that has a vivacious attitude to sales and life, and someone that never fails to bring a smile to your face. He's taken LinkedIn by storm during 2020 by simply being himself and sharing his knowledge. With a career that spans several industries, Craig knows what he's talking about when it comes to leadership and sales. His new venture, A Different Mindset, aims to show exactly that, a different mindset.
Born and bred, Fife, Scotland, and my ambition when I was at school was to be a police officer. When I first left school, I served an apprenticeship as a machine technician in a factory, and 4 years later, my dream come true, and I became a police officer in Fife Constabulary at the time, which I was delighted about, but it turns out I wasn't able to do it because too soft in the heart, I think. I saw too many, things that were just horrific. But I only lasted about three and a half years or so before I resigned. And from there, I took on various jobs originally because there were still mortgages and so on to pay. But ultimately, I ended up in the private healthcare sector with PPP, type organisation, and I run the whole of Scotland and the north of England for them, and then they got absorbed. They were originally a small part of the organisation but got absorbed into the parent organisation, and I spent about 10 years or so there. Where the training superb, you know, this is where I learned my official sales training, which was based on a method called structured selling, which, you know, is not a term that you hear so often these days, but effectively it was what we would now call relationship selling. It's about building, maintaining these through great account management and or key account management, as they used to call it. So I learned a lot working for that particular organisation. And then, of course, the advent of the computing age was upon us, and we were looking to use computers across businesses, and PCs were new, and, you know, it was all really exciting times for business, and I was excited about it, so I wanted to get into it, and eventually I got my introduction through being headhunted from healthcare into an IT company, and that was the big. That was some 25 or so years ago, and I've been in IT ever since, or certainly up until the end of last year, where I've been working with businesses up and down the country and all over the world, in fact, and talking about IT and IT solutions and IT support and IT security and all this kind of stuff. And it's been great, and I've really enjoyed it. But the key thing throughout that 25 years was that my training that I had from the healthcare sector came into its own, because my style of business development and selling was entirely different from what was existing in the IT sector at that time. It was, you know, in healthcare, they genuinely cared about what their customers thought of them and about the quality of support and service that they deliver, and IT was less so at the time. It was perhaps still in its infancy, but I brought this kind of healthcare attitude towards it, and it seemed to work really well in attract and retain clients. And of course, I all of a sudden became recognised as this kind of growth guru type individual, which for my sense has continued through to this day. So There we are.
It's not a bad title to have, eh? Growth guru.
Well, it's not me that calls me that. It's other people. The other one I've been called is a growth hacker. I'm not too sure on that one either. But it's good. They're complementary, and it's good to get them. And certainly every company that I've ever worked with has saw dramatic growth in their business. I think that's why I became recognized as a specialist in business growth over the years. And of course, that's one of the things that prompted the launch of a different mindset. I've been growing businesses all my career, but it's always
So before we go into different mindset, I want to take you back to being in the police, because there I assume you would have learned negotiation techniques, how to deal with difficult people. What other techniques, or what techniques do you feel that you learned there that you've been able to bring into business?
Yeah, you're right. There was a lot of great training in the police about handling difficult scenarios and violent scenarios as well, as you can imagine. But the thing that's been of most use to me is handling confrontation within business, and also becoming a black belt in body language. The police are very strong in that, because quite often you can tell if you're in a particular situation, you're able to read it before it happens and prevent it from happening. And so that's been a real core skill for me throughout my career. It's very useful in business-to-business communications as well. There's a lot of things that have sat in my toolbox and been available for me as in when the right time arises. So
I think a theme that I've noticed with you as well is, and especially knowing now about the police, is the fact that something for me that seems to drive what you do is you have this passion to actually help people. And that takes you through everything that you've done and into different mindset now as well.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. Anybody that knows me will identify with that. And it's not because I'm some kind of goody two shoes. It's simply because I've had a lot of people helping me throughout my career, and I think sometimes it's good to pay that back, or indeed during the lockdown, pay it forward. You know, I've been a lot of work during lockdown, but I haven't been charging for it, so it's and I feel great about that. You know, that's what my personality is like. If I can help, I'll do it. And you know, that's continued now, so that I'm becoming more and more involved with two social enterprises. One of them is based in Dundee, called the Women's Business Station, who are there to help, coach and train women entrepreneurs who are launching out in a new business, and it's an absolutely fantastic cause. And I've been working with them for a few weeks now. I've created some recommendations and reports for them, which they've taken on board fully. So I'm now being hired, so I get paid for it now, to help put some of these recommendations into place and help them to grow and stabilize or grow a sustainable income for the organization. So that's one of them, and the other one is the Love Group, which is a charity that rescued Gorgie City Farm in Edinburgh towards the end of last year, and they invited me to become a member on their board of trustees, which I was both excited and very proud and delighted to accept. And I had a meeting with them this morning, so I've put recommendations in place there, and I've now been tasked with creating a strategy as to how we're going to deliver that, which is, again, very exciting. And ultimately, I expect that I'll be rewarded for it in heaven or something along these lines.
Quite right. Well, I've loved seeing everything you've had up on LinkedIn about what you've been doing with these social enterprises. And it's definitely inspiring to read about and see. One thing I want to kind of find out about now is how Different Mindset came about. So the journey that you went through to one day go, right, this is happening now. This is what I'm going to go for.
Yeah. Different Mindset has been, it wasn't called Different Mindset, but the concept of Different Mindset has been a in the background for probably about 3 or 4 years. But it really came to the fore round about January or February 2019, when I was doing some work with an IT managed services company, and I felt I'd kind of reached the extent of what I was going to be able to do there, because the final decision was never mine. And so I sat with the business owners and I had a chat with them, and I explained that I thought it was time that looked about me exiting the business. So we had that talk beginning of the summer, and I agreed that I would leave at the end of October 2019. Excuse me. So it was all done on a very amicable basis. It was all done very professionally, and it was all done for the right reasons, because I had this drive and this passion to set up my own business. And largely the reasoning behind that is, as I touched on earlier, I have become recognized as a person that's a specialist in business growth, which is true. That's where the vast majority of my success has lain. But what I've learned through extensive training throughout the last 25 years is about, and beyond that, is business management and leadership. Leadership's a real passion of mine. And I think there's very few people do it right, certainly coming out of COVID. You know, the leadership that has changed and will remain changed permanently as we exit COVID. So I'm a big advocate of that, and I think there's better quality leadership is emerging as a result of that. So I talk about that a lot, but obviously you don't grow a business unless your strategies are in place. So business strategies, marketing strategies, sales strategies, business development strategies, which is kind of a combination of all of the above. Ensure that you've got the right thought process in mind. And then, of course, you've got to look at the operational side. So if you're looking to grow a business, are your operations capable of supporting that growth in the business and maintaining it? Are they capable of delivering the services to more and more clients? And more often than not, the answer to that question is, no, they're not. So there needs to be a real root and branch look at how we do things and how we can improve them and how we can do them better and more efficiently. And quite often that involves the leaders or owners of the business starting to take a backward step and delegating more work, because they can't be the bottleneck in the business. And that's with a lot of small and medium businesses, is that the owner finds it, understandably, it's their baby, they've grown it, and sometimes it's difficult for them to hold it in close. But for it to grow, we really need to encourage them to delegate more and put the right people in the right places, so that there's people that they can trust to do it right. So that's really where Different Mindset came from.
Yeah. You did. You absolutely did. So when we spoke is it a few weeks ago or a month ago now?
Yeah.
Time has disappeared.
Yeah.
You were mentioning a kind of different direction that the business was taking thanks to world changes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tell us a bit about that.
I do, and it's quite exciting because, as we discussed last time, the concept of me launching a different mindset was as a business consultancy with a difference to work with small and medium businesses, particularly through the Scottish Central Belt and maybe slightly beyond. But what's happened during lockdown is that I've become quite an expert in Zoom. And like most of us, we're having our face-to-faces are now on video, you know, so we're all doing it, but what that's enabled me to do is to communicate with connections and contacts that I've got all over the world. And I think Zoom, I'm sure we talked about this, but I feel Zoom is a real incredible add-on to LinkedIn, for instance, because on LinkedIn we all have connections, and they're never more than that. They're just good connections or better connections. Some of them are connections we never interact with again. Zoom changed all that. Zoom means that if you've got connections that have got similar ideas or similar directions to you, then it's easy to jump on a Zoom call with anybody anywhere in the world and take them from being connections to now being friends. And because they're friends, then you're able to help each other more than you are as connections. So I found that, and as a result, I've been introduced to more and more people on a global basis, all over the world, and I'm starting to get inquiries from these kind of places, from the US, from Africa, from Europe, Sweden, Bulgaria, places like that. And this week I have a Zoom call with a lady in Sweden where we'll be talking about working together. So that's so exciting for a young business to be actually trading globally, as it were, you know. It's
quite a big step to what you were expecting at Christmas to where you are now, hey?
Well, absolutely, and I had set my goals originally on turning a profit within the first 2.5 years or so. That would have been quite exciting, but I'm getting to the stage now where I think that we're going to do that in the first year. So that's quite encouraging, and as I say, it's hyper exciting because I can see the results of what I'm doing with people and what I'm doing with businesses. And they're posting some great things about different mindset on LinkedIn and so on, and it's so rewarding. So as long as I feel that I'm doing the right thing and working with the right people, then I'll consider that a kind of personal success.
I think you can. I think we mentioned earlier about the article that you wrote, which I'll be linking to in the show notes. And I think one thing that I find amazing when speaking to you is that you do have this focus on relationships and building relationships and actually getting to know people. Yeah. So is that something that you've always had within you, or is it something that can be taught? How did you realize that this building relationships was the way to do business?
I think... The direct answer to your question is, I think it can be taught, without a doubt, it can be taught. But how many times in our lifetimes have we heard people say, I'm a people person, I'm not a people person, and so on. And it's easy to think that if you're a people person, then you're good at building relationships, but I don't subscribe to that, I'm afraid. I am the world's worst networker, for instance. I think I said this to you last time as well. I think is for me, a crowd of people together is the scariest thing known to man for me. It's I'm rather introverted in my personal life, and so going into a group of people and introducing myself is difficult. I'm getting better at it because I'm forcing myself to do it, but it doesn't come naturally to me. So it's not about being a people person at all. Learning to develop and build and maintain relationships with people at all levels is a skill that can be taught and is taught. And it's about core skills such as listening intently to what people are saying. And this is a real big thing for me, because I find sometimes that people are listening so they can answer rather than listening to understand.
And, yep.
and if you don't understand, then you're not going to answer correctly or properly. Yeah. Excuse me. So yes, it can be taught. I don't think it's a natural thing. I think it's taught through. But I think it's something that can be taught and can only be taught. I don't think it's a natural thing at all. Although if you are a naturally outgoing person, it does help. But you've also got to be sincere. You know, there's no point in being a naturally outgoing person if you just want to go and gossip and chat and waste time with everybody. You've got to be sincere, and you've got to genuinely want to understand what people are doing and how that fits in with what you're doing, and whether or not these are. And be honest. Frank, be open, and because people will trust you if you're honest with them from the outset. And we've all met people who don't fit into that category, I'm sure.
No comment. So I wanted to take you back to what you were saying about listening, and the fact that it's very important to listen to what is being said as opposed to thinking up an answer before someone's finished talking. What are the, like you said, it's a very hard skill to practice and learn, but are there any tips or tricks that can help someone during that learning process on how to actively listen?
Yeah, there's entire training courses built around it. So there's hundreds of tips on how you should do it. But a lot of these tips are not practical in everyday circumstances. You know, if you think of a doctor or a surgeon, if they're speaking to someone about symptoms that they have, they are experts at listening intently to what it is so that they can help to diagnose correctly what it is that's the underlying issue. And for me, it's no different in a one-to-one or in a business or personal scenario. To be able to do the right thing and to be able to come to the right happy medium or balance, then you must not think about how you're going to reply, but think about what the individual is saying. And you know, communication, and which listening forms a major part of, is absolutely key in all businesses, and it's going to become more key as we exit lockdown, because you know, many of us will be managing teams who are geographically dispersed, so the day of strutting the corridors of an office and simply nodding and patting people on the back and managing and communicating and leading that way, they're gone. They're going to be gone for a large proportion of businesses. So the new emerging leaders are the ones that are going to use the tools that are at their disposal to maintain these relationships, to grow them and build them. And more importantly, to reassure people that even though they're working remotely or from home, that they're not on their own. They're still part of a team. They're still a core part of that team. And we need to make them feel like they're still a valued member of the team. And that's that's not easy. That requires a real skill and a different skill from what management and leadership has been traditionally.
We've had some active conversations about this concept of leadership and what that means going forward. And you've just touched upon it now, that it's going to be very different to what traditional leadership or management has been. How do you see this new leader emerging? How do you see them being, acting, helping?
Well, you have to understand and look at what the circumstances are first. You know, during, I think, within the first 4 weeks of lockdown, Twitter, then Facebook, then Barclays Bank, then Morgan Stanley, all announced that they will never, ever bring their people back into working in a 9-to-5 office environment. These are huge statements. That's hundreds of thousands of people all over the world that are all of a sudden had their work environment changed forever. You know, and in most cases that will be positive, but there are people who can't work from home, you know, because they've got young family or other commitments. But the fact is that these changes are coming. So these changes have been forced upon businesses all over the world by lockdown. And as a result, a large proportion, depending on where you read it, it could be anything from 50 to 60% of all businesses are going to do the same thing. They're going to stop working 9-to-5 from offices. Excuse me. And some of them are saying work from home. Some of them, probably better, are saying work flexibly. So if you want to come into the office, then that's fine. If you want to work from home, that's fine. If you want to work from a coffee shop, then that's fine too. But allow the individual employee the decision as to how they work. And as long as they're doing their job, then everything should be fine and smooth on that. One of the benefits of that is that history shows us that that people take less sick time if they're allowed to work flexibly. So that's a big boon to businesses. Forbes magazine during lockdown did a survey in America that said, or that found, that on average, a person that's allowed to work from home will produce 3.5 weeks more work per annum than an individual working from an office. And you know, I've spoken to a number of people about this, and the consensus with the people that I discuss it with is that we think that that's far too low. We think that's probably closer to 6 or 7 weeks per annum more work from someone working either from home or remotely. And if that's the case, then the benefit is for business. Businesses all over the world can benefit and have a better level of production than they can currently based on an office environment. So to go back to your question, the how that's changed is that management and leadership was traditionally done in one location or two or three locations, but where large groups of employees were all together at the same time. And management in that scenario is easier. Management in the new scenario, where your team are spread over huge geographic areas, is extremely difficult. And sometimes your means of communicating with them, firstly, your communication has to be far better than it's ever been. It has to be supreme communication skills that are going to be required for all our business leaders and senior managers. They have to make sure that everybody in their team is getting the right level of attention and getting the right level of guidance as and when they need it. They need to know that there's people there for them to connect with, to help them, to contact by telephone, by Skype, by Zoom, whatever it might be. Because all the technologies are available to us. And it's up to leaders now to find which technologies work best for you and your team, and which technologies work best for individual members within the team. Some people hate being on camera, for instance. So is a phone call better for them? Or is it a Zoom call without the camera? You know, then that, you have to, good leaders have to find what the right medium is for maintaining that communication and also maintaining the motivation. You know, if, you know, this is a major topic of leadership is motivation, and it's always difficult to do it. But there are, again, techniques that can be taught and trained to help improve leadership and to help raise the functionality of a team. And that's that are going to be critical as we fully exit from lockdown.
That's amazing. Such valuable insights.
You don't get to my age without having some experience.
You're only 25, Craig. I don't know what you're talking about.
I remember when I was 25.
So what, I mean, looking at the knowledge that you do have now, the journey you've been on, the different roles and industries you've worked in, if there's three things that you could pick out career-wise that have really stuck out, knowledge, experiences, whatever it may be, if you could sum up your career in three experiences or thought processes, what would that be?
Yes, that's a hard one.
Take your time.
Yeah, I think I think my original training with PPP was fundamental in molding me or shaping me into the business-focused person that I became. Their training was second to none, and it was largely based on common sense and, you know, and this relationship building thing that we talk about. They made that sound like it was as natural as you know, going to the shops. It was really just something that we did without thinking about it. And when you get to that level, then the communication side and the building relationship side becomes very, very easy indeed. Moving into IT, I think the key lesson that I've taken from that is don't try to do it on your own. I've worked with some fantastic teams over the year who have had a wide range of skill sets, from, you know, basic business skill sets to advanced technical skill sets. I tend to be more on the advanced business skill sets and very, very low on the technical skill sets. So I knew enough to engage people in conversation about it, but when it got to the stage where I'd reached my limits, it's knowing when to bring in someone that's more knowledgeable than you. And I've been fortunate that I've always been quick to identify when that right timing is, and I've always been had no hesitation in doing it. Because I think, it conveys an honesty on your part to the client, and it also conveys a great message to show that, you know, you might not have all the skills yourself, but you know a man who does. You know, it's a slightly old AA advert, you know, it's, can you fix it? No, but I know a man who can. And I think people warm to that.
Yeah.
So that's two things. I think the third thing is, I think hold your hands up. You know, everybody makes mistakes. When you make mistakes, feel confident, hold your hands up and say, I've made a mistake. You'll get more respect for it. Well, actually, you'll get more respect for it if you're working in the right organisation. But yeah, one of the biggest issues is too many people feel that if they make a mistake, they're going to get punished for it by their manager or their director or whoever it might be. Creating a good leadership environment means people know that you've got their back. People know that it's okay to make a mistake and it's okay to learn from it. I think usually at the start of every year, one of my first posts that I make is, Happy New Year, everyone. Here's looking forward to your first mistake. Because if mistakes are where we learn, you know, that's that. And I firmly believe that. So if I could give any advice to anyone that listens to this, it's reassure your teams that it's okay to make a mistake and it's okay to come to you to own up to that mistake. Because the quicker it's discovered, the less damage it does to your business. And it'll make your team feel great as well. They'll trust you more.
That's excellent advice. No, I think that's great advice. It's something that's been hammered into me since I was born. It's okay if you make mistakes as long as you own up to them and you find a way to fix it. I think it all comes down to and learn from it. If you don't learn from it, then you've wasted that opportunity essentially of learning from what went wrong. I suppose it all comes down to living with honesty and integrity, and just being a decent human being at the end of the day, isn't it?
The thing is that I think you and I both know that there's the vast majority of people out there, certainly the ones that you and I interact with, they're exactly that. They're genuine, passionate people who want to do the very best that they can for themselves, but also for everyone else. And if you've got that kind of attitude, I don't think you can.
And that was another inspiring story, and just in time to take on a new weekend. If you want to share your story or join the Wild Adventures podcast community, make sure to look us up on our website, which is www.thewildadventurespodcast.com, our Patreon, Facebook, and Redbubble. All of the links to those are in the show notes. If you like what you heard in today's episode, then leave a review wherever you are listening to podcasts and help spread the stories. Until next time.